We will conclude our study in the book of Philemon tonight. Just a brief book and a personal book. I consider it basically a personal letter, really, that was written by Paul to Philemon, a close friend and a fellow laborer in the Lord. And it concerned, again, the slave, the runaway slave, Onesimus, who has now been saved by the grace of God. And Paul sending a letter back with this runaway slave to the former master. I think we stopped our study in verse 11 last week. We'll go back a little farther. We'll go back to verse 10 tonight to get the full picture. But remember that we had just left it with this thought, profitable or unprofitable and profitable. And that's basically the testimony of every one of us. Before we ever saved by the grace of God, we was unprofitable. Makes no difference how successful we might have been in life. Then after we're saved by the grace of God, profitable, usable in the work of the Lord. Let's go back. We'll start with verse 10 and read on through the remainder of the chapter. And we'll just give some thoughts from this tonight. So I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And thus we conclude the book of Philemon, and as always, Paul puts his signature to it, making reference to the grace of God in benefit to the hearer or the receiver of the letter. But I want to just take a few thoughts from this particular passage that we've read tonight. Again, the whole picture is that Paul is sending Onesimus back home, the place where he ran away from, unprofitable to his master previously, apparently had stolen from him. There is some indication, I think, at least in this, that he was some kin, maybe, even to Philemon. For he said not only was he spiritually now related to him, but in the flesh as well. So I don't know the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, but it could have been one of those cases where he had bought out or paid for an inheritance that this man was not able to maintain, and he was a servant and didn't like the servitude that he was brought under and had run away. But I want to just take the thoughts that are here tonight, and they'll be somewhat disjointed more than a direct exposition of this passage. Paul sent him again And he said, therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. Under that particular thought, I put this, the relationship between the witness and the convert. Now, as we deal with folks, we walk up maybe to a total stranger. We may be dealing with somebody that does not really mean anything to us in the sense of that we've known them and we've loved them previously. And the only love we have for them is the love that the Lord had for us and that He's imparted to us. We love the Lord and we go out and we witness as we can because He first loved us. That's the motivation in our lives. Most of us would not go to a third world country. We would not go into a deprived society and live there were it not for the grace of God. There's many homes that we would not visit were it not, except for the love of God that we have shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's difficult to love folks because of the way they live and the attitude they have and the response that they will many times make to us. Years ago, I preached in the rescue mission in downtown Fort Worth. And some of those fellows were a little bit hard to love, just to tell you the truth about it. They were very forward. They, in their drunkenness, would speak very reproachfully. And yet, as they're saved by the grace of God, things change. And that is a build-up or lead up to the point here, the new relationship between the relationship between the witness and the convert. Paul said now, before he was unprofitable, just a runaway slave. But now, he's my son. And you see the tenderness in this. The motivation is the love of God in our own hearts. The tenderness of it. He takes Onesimus as his very son. And many times, the truth of the matter is that in a spiritual sense, the relationships will be very close. And we'll hold dear to our hearts those that we've seen saved by the grace of God. And they in turn would hold dear us that were saved under their ministry. And so Paul now speaks of this as my son, this one that you might even, Philemon, still consider in a measure unprofitable. You receive him because he's my son in the faith. And in our text, he said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. As though he were literally a physical father to this man, now he's a spiritual father to him, and he loves this man. And then he points out, of course, his profitableness and unprofitableness that we have there. But we see the new relationship between them, and Paul then asked for a willing offering. Without your mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Paul said, I could have kept him. I needed to keep him. I needed to have him here to minister to me and to my needs. And likely Paul thought, you know, I'm in prison, but this man could maybe walk out with my message to a lost and a dying world. But he said, I would not do that without your mind and knowing your mind about it. So a willing offering tonight, and I encourage you to always be willing to give of yourself and then of your means to the Lord. Now the new relationship between the master and the servant. Prior to this, there were guidelines for that relationship, but Paul will say that now it becomes a more than just a master-servant relationship. Remember in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, also I believe it's in the book of Colossians, where masters are given certain responsibilities to their servants. Servants have certain obligations to their masters. But Paul now said there's going to be a new relationship here indeed. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And I say, since Paul made that statement that maybe Onesimus was some relationship physically to Philemon, but now he said he'll be a brother in Christ. And that's a new relationship. We hear a lot today about the brotherhood of man. And we are all related one to another. That's true. We all could trace our lineage back to Adam if we just had the information to do so. I mentioned that there was a fellow that did a lot of research since the genetic research has been going on, and he came to the conclusion that the whole human race today came from about 1,000 people out of Africa. Well, I'd go in one better than that. I can take him back to the Garden of Eden, tell him it came from one pair. The whole human race. And we are kin in one sense. Every one of us are distant relatives to Adam. And that makes us then distant relatives one to another. But I want you to know, whenever a person is saved by the grace of God, it's a different relationship then. Become brothers in Christ. And Paul said to this man, he was a servant before, somewhat removed and distant, but now he's a brother indeed, a brother beloved, a brother in Christ. I'll tell you what, it's a joy to know believers. They're the best people I've ever known in my life. You hear these guys always bad-mouthing, belittling believers, but I want you to know that the best folks I've ever known are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The most stable folks I've ever known in my life are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most straightforward and honest people, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've found out that the world, they lie to you on every hand. They never give an opportunity. But thank God there is a fellowship of the brethren in Christ. And Paul then said, if you count me, therefore, partner, just receive him as myself. Just you treat Onesimus as though you would treat me. And apparently Paul had the sense that Philemon loved him, understood that, apparently had helped him and assisted him, labored in the same causes. And Paul just said to him, you treat him just like you treat me when he comes. Now, Paul puts himself under obligation here. And I see the Spirit of Christ in this man, Paul, when he does so. He said that in verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. There's only one that could ever take and settle our account in full. Now, I'm persuaded that there are folks today that would do what they can for my benefit. God's given me men in my ministry through the years and has blessed me with folks that really love me. It's hard to explain and definitely difficult to understand, but they love me anyway. Now, I appreciate the folks that God has put into my life, but I want you to know that there was one and only one who could say, whatever he owes, put it on my account. I'm persuaded that the son would still say to the father, whatever he owes, put it on my account. I paid it in full. Paul said, if you owe the old, I'll pay it. Put it on my account. And Paul, he said, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. We have an obligation to those that carried the gospel to us, whether it be mother, dad, friend, son or daughter, preacher, evangelist, missionary, whatever you want to call them, neighbor, friend. You owe them something if they brought the gospel to you. Paul said, you owe me something, Philemon, because I'm the means whereby you heard the message and were saved by the grace of God. But he's not really putting this man under burden for this. He just simply wants him to be reminded of what it is. And Paul said, you just receive him as you'd receive me. I'll pay whatever he owes. Then he went on to say, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And he's appealing. I said, be a blessing to me, brother. Be a blessing to me. And I'm persuaded that Philemon was a blessing to Paul. For he said this, Paul expected more than he asked. He said, having confidence in thy obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Isn't it always a blessing to get more than you ask for? I mean, and God does that. But sometimes folks do that as well. And Paul said, I expect far more than I've even asked of you. And I'm sure that Philemon did not disappoint him. Then, in the last verses, in verse 22, I put this thought, live by faith. Paul said, but with all, prepare me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And Paul's saying, I'm in prison, but I expect to be free, make me a bed. That's living by faith. And we're to live by faith today, just believing that God's able. Seemed rather difficult and maybe impossible for him to be delivered, but he said, just make me a bed anyway. Prepare me a lodging. He said, I expect through your prayers that I'll be delivered and given unto you. Then he just closed it out, his final salutations. There, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, now this is John Mark that was unprofitable, as Paul thought for a time. Aristarchus, Demas. Now Demas at this time, he's still a fellow laborer. Later on, he'll be spoken of as one that forsook the Lord and turned back. Lucas, my fellow laborers, and that likely is Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Then again, his signature, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And what could we wish more than for the grace of God to be with our spirits, to encourage us day by day? Know him in the free pardon of sin and his grace, the exemplary in our lives.